Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Hello, everyone. Today, LaShawn and I thought that it would be a prime opportunity to talk about taking a pause or the lessons we've learned from our own vacations over the past couple of weeks. We have been off recording for 2 weeks, which is probably the longest amount of time we've ever gone between podcast recordings. So we're glad to be back and share with you kind of some of the things that we've gleaned from taking a little bit of a break from our typical routine, keeping in mind that whether it's a vacation, just a pause, there are so many important lessons in that break that can be applied after the break to help with your health and to live the life that you want to live each day. And I have seen a big shift coming back to where on vacation, I was not tethered to my cell phone. And that was one of the most healing things over the past week when I was on vacation. Helped me unwind, helped me root back into who I am. So coming back and now being more tethered to my cell phone, I notice when I'm on my phone for a certain amount of time that I start to feel that anxiousness more. So for me, I think one of the key takeaways from being on vacation is how can we help our coaching clients? How can we help ourselves? How can we use coaching as a process to keep those cell phones at arm's length and be judicious about how we're using them for our own health and well-being? At this time, I'm going to turn it over to you, LaShawn, and maybe have you share about your break and if there's something related to well-being that carry forward into your the rest of 2025.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned cell phones. I think that over my short break, it was about 4 days, I did do my best to keep the cell phone off and not worry too much about the cell phone and not be, you know, as you mentioned, tethered to the cell phone. So that really helped with peace of mind and also just being present and engaged with the family and having, you know, quality time. So I think that's a big part of taking a break, whether, like you said, Erin, whether it's a day off or it's a couple days or a week or 2 weeks or whatever, whenever you take a break from routine, it gives you a chance to pause and to sometimes reflect and to just have moments where you're present and where you're engaged in the moment and not worried about, you know, your to-do list and not worried about what's happening outside of where you are in the moment. So I think having that time just to step back and pause or to relax, to do something different, that can also help, having different experiences than you normally have day to day can help broaden your perspective and also remind you of things that you may have forgotten. So for example, if you are doing something that is new, you may have forgotten how you learn or how you approach new things. And it gives you a chance to be reminded of aspects of yourself or even to get to know aspects of yourself that you didn't know because you're in a new environment. So for example, if you are traveling or you go somewhere that you've never been to before, you get to explore and you get to try new things and experience the thrill of adventure, getting lost and finding your way again. So those are some fun things that you can do when you take a break from the routine. So I think that definitely taking a break and having a pause from the routine is a great way to foster well-being. Because I think that when we are into the routine and maybe we're on autopilot, it's easy to forget about things like rest, relaxation, that kind of thing, if you're just constantly going down that to-do list. Erin, is anything coming up for you as I was talking about, you know, my experience and my thoughts?
Yeah, the word lost really resonated with me when you said that, just the power of getting lost and reflecting on that experience. So in the coaching world, it's like, maybe you take a walk and go a different way in your own day-to-day now, taking that lesson from vacation and applying it to your real life, and you get lost. And during that experience, you're completely immersed in finding your way and shifting maybe mindsets or pace in your walk or that sort of thing. And then a good coaching tool then could be to reflect on that experience and be like, how did I engage with this newness? You know, what is my relationship with something that is new or different? Sometimes when we can ask ourselves those powerful questions, it does help with that pause that we've learned on our vacations or on our breaks, but it also helps us stay curious about our own well-being, about what works well for us, what we've learned and what we've grown with too. Because even when I reflect on those questions, looking back to some of my first vacations with my husband, you know, before kids, and now my relationship to getting lost has completely shifted in a good way, right? It's been much more, there's been like a little bit of loosely holding the experience for me versus 15 plus years ago, it was all about like getting to the next space. We missed this train. We got to make sure we get on this. Like, it was very control driven. And we're reminded through the coaching experience, possibly through a spiritual lens for some people, that we are not in that control. And when we try to overexert that level of control, at least in my own experience, it doesn't help the process and it doesn't help me grow as an individual either. So I guess the opportunity in coaching is to take a moment to pause, look back on that getting lost and reflect on how that's informing your life and how you want to move forward and grow and live. And I've been kind of wrestling with this concept of growth because there's a critique. Do humans have to like be so intentional about their growth? Can't it just be something very natural? Or maybe we don't want to grow. That's not, you know, the end goal, part of the goal of being a human. And I personally am I tend to side with the side of like, no, when we can reflect and be intentional, we grow in a way that is healthy, just like a tree or just like other facets of nature. It requires that slowing down process, that care process, being able to take care of oneself to be able to give to the rest of the symbiotic system and those types of things. So I do believe that growth is key in coaching. And sometimes taking a step back on a vacation or a break or even a pause during the workday, it may feel like just that, a step back instead of leaning into maybe something a little bit challenging. But in the end, that stepping back may also be very helpful to one's growth and to one's learning and leading. And I guess with that, you know, learning and leading, LaShawn, I know you've been a part of this really cool leadership academy mm-hmm. in our area over the past year. And so my brain is starting to kind of go into that direction. And I would love to learn more about how maybe your leadership and then coaching and breaks relate to this conversation.
I would say that as far as the leadership program that I'm a part of, there is a lot of information coming at you about different resources and different aspects of basically Boulder County, and mostly like the resources and things that are out there for citizens, residents of Boulder County. And one component of the leadership program that is pretty effective, I think, is the reflection that comes as part of that, where we get a lot of information and the organizers are very aware of that. And so we check in and we also check out. And one of the things that we do as part of the sessions that we have monthly is we can reflect. We have the option to reflect on, you know, all the information that we've gotten. And usually it's like one word reflection, just showing where we're at, maybe mentally, emotionally, whatever. So I think that definitely shows up. And I think it's really important as a leader to be able to step back and pause and reflect. I think it helps you become, it helps you develop your self-awareness, because I think to be a leader, it's really important to be aware of yourself and your strengths and weaknesses, as well as how you interact with your team and how your team interact, and just being aware of that, and also to give yourself and your team space for reflection and for review. looking at how things are going, what's going well, what could be done differently, what is out of date or no longer working, and what we can do as an alternative or to help continue, progressing or growing. And just kind of to speak to what you said about growth, I think that it can be interpreted as like the human condition. Is it really necessary for us to grow? And I know that in the spaces where you are in coaching and in self-development, of course, growth is going to be a key component of that. And I think that people that are in that space are people who believe that human flourishing requires growth, it requires development, it requires expansion. And so there is that, I think, just by nature of working with a coach or being in the coaching space, I think there is an underlying belief or premise that growth is a value that that's something we want to attain, that we want to focus on our development, and that we're in a space and we want to maybe go to another space, or we want to deepen our knowledge of that space, or we want to explore. So I think that those are part of the coaching space, I think. And so and that's not to say that that's part of all spaces, it's just a part of the coaching space. And I think that growth development, Erin, we've talked about the growth zone and what it means to live in the growth zone and to be in the growth zone and how that feels and what that's like. And not just growth zone, but we've also looked at zones where growth might not be as successful, for example, or growth might be hindered, I should say, where we're in a fear mode. If we're in a fear mode, then we're really focusing on the risks, and we're focusing on dangers and that kind of thing. But when we're in a mode of curiosity, and when we're in a mode of love and joy, then it's easier for us to look at things differently and to expand our perspective and get lost, as you were saying before, Erin. And then that brings us back to the idea of control as well. I think when we're in fear mode, we really are focusing on power and control because we want to mitigate whatever harmful circumstances we might be in. So if we're in fear mode, most people might be hypervigilant, or they might be wanting to avoid. So they're like really wanting to avoid things because they believe that by avoiding, they're somehow able to control the outcome. And so that's where I think is where fear comes in, and where control comes in, because when we're in fear mode, we're like focusing on the outcome. And almost always it's going to be an outcome that we are not wanting. It's an outcome that we would rather not have. So we're either going to try to control all the variables and exert as much energy as we can to making an outcome that's going to be more satisfactory or less painful than if we just kind of take a deep breath and let go and just observe and turn off our brain, because that's one of the things that our brain does. It tends to lie to us. And so when we are able to take that respite, or we're able to take that pause, or we're able to step out of those racing thoughts and all the scenarios, all the things that could go wrong, if we can go out of that and say, okay, this is my brain protecting me and thinking about all the things that could go wrong, but I'm going to take a pause and I'm going to put some distance between myself and the situation. And I'm going to really look at what's here. And I'm going to look at this with an objective mind. And I'm going to say, okay, what do I see? What do I observe, rather than what am I interpreting? So I think that can be one advantage of rest. And that's one advantage of stepping out of the routine, is looking at something differently and letting go of that sense of needing to control the outcome. And rather than try to control the outcome, really focusing on what is happening in the present and what tools are available, what resources are available, can you ask for help? Just taking stock of what's available and what's possible, rather than getting locked into, I've got to stop this outcome from happening, or I've got to make this happen. What are your thoughts, Erin?
Oh, I was just kind of shaking my head yes the entire time as I was listening to where you started from with this like place of curiosity and love and joy is a place of discovery and kind of the different place than fear-based thinking and being. And I guess as you continued to talk about that and the fear aspect and talk about how a lot of that is the brain and in the mind, I could really feel like the vacation aspect of me going back to that curiosity and love. And it's all, the mind is a bit suspended. It's this whole body, right? It's fully present. And I know that there are environmental factors that make that a little bit easier to embody. And in that being, you know, being on vacation, your mind just already automatically knows like, hey, I'm going to flip this switch. I'm on vacation. I can have that space. So now I think it goes back to that word of intentionality for me and living out parts of that in an environment where I am back with my phone. I now am immersed in the problems of the world, the relationship challenges, all of those things are just right back where they were from taking the break before. But what is different is the week of growth that I had in my own vacationing experience that helps me use coaching tools coming into this difficult, challenging world space kind of thing. So I recognize and want to honor that utilizing some of those skills of pausing, reflecting, being curious, how using those may be a lot more difficult in your environment day to day. So it's not about trying to necessarily maybe get all of them and use all of them at once, but I think it is about being intentional about one or two things that you can shift now having the insight that you gained and the clarity that you gained while on a quick pause or a break or a vacation. And so for me, it does simply go back to the phone. I am working toward a goal of trying to kind of keep it further away from me. And I don't have a specific goal that I have set yet, but I'm getting there and I'm kind of feeling into the space of what that could look like. And I am trying to tether myself to just that tether again, that work to just that one for me to bring back, while also maybe trying to keep in mind, like, how can I live into the curious space a little bit more outside of the coaching context, outside of coaching appointments, but also this idea of letting go and this idea of control. It's so interesting that that is one of the main themes that keeps coming up in the conversation today around taking a break. So I'm curious, like, how can we help our clients who like to control situations or like to be in that space to maybe have some strategies or some moments of a break from having to feel like they have to take it all on in that way? I think one of those ways is that connectedness to community. And so maybe that's another kind of strategy, you know, to talk with a coach or a therapist about is, you know, how can I relinquish some of that control, still live an intentional life? Because being intentional and trying to control things are two different things. But how can it be intentional? And then also, how can I maybe use one or two lessons from a break, or even if you haven't had a break this summer, maybe just even reflecting on an afternoon on a weekend, maybe that was really healing for you or something like that. You deserve that. That's the other thing. You deserve that healing to carry forward. I know that I can get into a space sometimes where it's like, oh, I can't have that because that's a vacation and I've got to be back to this kind of certain way of being. And then I have to ask myself, why do I think I need a certain way of being where I live in fear and have to exert control and all of those things? It's such a mind shift for so many people to be like, no, I deserve to have this. Everybody deserves to have this level of contentment, whatever that looks like for each individual. And sometimes just saying that aloud can be helpful too as a skill, knowing that you can carry this forward. It's not being lazy. It's not being selfish. Like some of those things that come up often, it's being intentional. It's being healthy. It's having a mindset that helps you live the life that you want to live. And so I say, if, you know, I mentioned like, oh, I'm going to take like one lesson from vacation, but for many people, if you want to take a lot more, that's great too. But just really trying to own that you deserve that space for yourself too, I think can be really helpful.
I like that you brought in the word deserve. I think that's one of the things that we take for granted is this idea that we have to earn something, or we for whatever reason, withhold things from ourselves because we feel like we need to be deserving of it. But I love that you brought in the idea of deserve, because I think that could be something. If we have this kind of unspoken belief that things, certain things are, we are not deserving of certain things, or certain things are out of our reach, or certain things are not for us. For example, like taking a break. Some people won't take, you know, their pay time off because they feel a certain way about taking time off work, or people who will go to work sick, even though they can take sick leave or whatever, but for whatever reason, they're not allowing themselves that, or they're not feeling deserving of that. And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind when we are looking at vacation and we're looking at those type of things, because that's sending the message to ourselves that we deserve a break. We deserve respite. We deserve a pause, even if it's not like a, you know, a 4 day, 5 day, you know, 10 day vacation. It could just be taking an afternoon where you turn off your phone, or you put it in the other room, or you go for a walk and you don't have anything with you that's going to allow you to stay present in the moment. And I also want to circle back to, Erin, what you've been saying throughout, which is the idea of coaching, and where we can use coaching space, and we can use, you know, that thought partner, the coach, as a place where we can explore these things. You know, what do I need in order to feel deserving of a vacation? Or how can I make the best of a pause in my day? Or how can I be intentional about rest, reflection, relaxation? And like you were saying, Erin, where you were talking about your phone and how you would like to put some distance between yourself and your phone, and just that awareness. I think that's another thing, you know, that vacation can do, or even if it's not vacation, if it's like, let's say you're sick, or you lose your phone, or, you know, something like that. It gives you a chance to kind of see what life is like without that tool or that device. And to really reflect on, hey, you know, I really like not having my phone, or not having to be dependent on my phone. And how can I be intentional about creating some space and boundaries around my phone and my use of my phone? So that is absolutely something you can explore in the coaching space. And it's a really, it's like a sandbox, you know, you go and you explore all these different ways of being with your phone or without your phone. And then you know, you have your coach that you can partner with, and you can brainstorm ideas, and then you can try different things and come back and reflect and see what works, what didn't work, because it is a personal thing. And having that thought partner in the coach to partner with you and look and explore this new way of being, and see if that fits and doesn't fit, and talk about and explore ways that you can become accustomed to the discomfort of change and the discomfort of looking at something differently. So those are some things that have come to mind just in this conversation that we've had about vacation, about a rest, relaxation, and what benefits that has for our well-being. And just helping us understand ourselves better and maybe try new things. Any other thoughts coming up for you, Erin?
So when you said the discomfort of change, it also, like, my brain latched onto that as the paradox of healing and using strategies that may be helpful. There is a level of discomfort in that change. And it doesn't always have, there are some times where it's not, right? But most of the time, making a certain lifestyle change, there will be discomfort as part of the process. And so instead of trying to avoid the pain, avoid the discomfort, I think just allowing the experience to unfold can be one strategy to cope with that discomfort, to kind of get to the other end of the tunnel of change, or the other end of the strategy that you were really starting to develop as a skill for yourself. Because yes, change may have a discomfort, but it's also a process that takes time, right? And it takes a lot of back and forth. It's not linear, and just like anything in life, and it takes trial and error. And so when you're talking about the coach of like being in the sandbox with you and being a thought partner with you, I think that's what's so invaluable to the coaching experience, because you go back to the next coaching session, you say how you employed something, how it worked, how it didn't work, and you continue to build from there. So it is such an iterative process that focuses on strategies too, which I think is really cool. And then something else that came up for me, it was my own discomfort of, does the coaching process always have to be so strategies based, right? Because sometimes I feel like we always need strategies. And sometimes we're in a process or in space of just exploring that way of being and just exploring the, and not just, simply exploring the way of being of where we're at in the process. And maybe we aren't ready to try something new. And as a coach, I have to be very mindful of allowing that space to unfold, simply because coaching as a profession is a very solution focused, role, right? A very solution focused thought partnership role too. So I think what's uncomfortable sometimes for the coach on the coaching side is that sitting with the unknown and, you know, letting the process unfold, asking questions that really way of being and purpose and values before getting more into some strategies can be helpful. And they vacillate too, right? As a coach, sometimes we go from way of being to strategies back and forth. It's all such a unique process, hyper individualized with the client, and it's a creative process. So when you mention the sandbox again, that creative process that the coach creates the space for the client to engage creatively, I think that that is one of the powerful things about coaching that really opens up one's whole being to a new creative way of thinking and feeling and being in the world. So I like that piece too. And then I feel like I had one other piece. Oh, one other thing that came up for me, and this is kind of a out of the loop, not as aligned as the other two. When Angel was on our podcast, Angel Sanchez came on and talked about some really important things. But when he was on our podcast, he mentioned, you know, each generation's needs and solutions are going to be different than the prior generation. So my brain started to go to this space of like thinking during this conversation, you know, a lot of the kind of more senior generations, they maybe had like a dial up phone in their home or something. And so their type of strategy for coping, just for example, around a phone might be quite a bit different. Now, obviously cell phones have inundated all populations. And so now it's a thing for everybody, but just a reminder that if you are in a more senior age bracket, to hold that space of compassion and understanding for the younger generations who are coming up in a very different world than you came up in. And so what you worked for you may not work for them. And I think the other lesson of kind of the vacation in the intergenerational aspect of things, right? Like when you go on a break or just simply take time to observe all the different types of generations and people and wildlife on a beach, for example, and you see the interaction being something to really witness and learn from with people of all different ages on the beach. You'll see maybe a grandparent with a four-year-old, or we sat next to a couple on the beach who were probably in their early 20s and they were like very much in love. I mean, you can just tell. And so like you see all the different facets of the various generations too. But it's nice to see that in spaces where there's simply just play involved. And so that is something I suggest to maybe some of the more senior generations to think back on that kind of playful aspect of your own wants and needs, how that might relate to new generations of people who are dealing with different world events, dealing with different relational challenges and technology as well. So yeah, that last piece just kind of flowed out of me. I don't know.
Well, I like that you brought in the aspect of play, because that is often part of vacation as well. I mean, especially if you vacation with young children or, you know, mixed group of people, different generations, play really does help to bridge a lot of, you know, the gaps between the different generations. If you're playing, like, for example, one thing that my family did over vacation is we played board games, and we also played Uno. And just as a family, we're focusing on one thing and we're working together or competing as well. So you can kind of see different aspects of yourself and the people in your life through play. So I appreciate that you brought in that aspect of play, and how it can help you understand the other generation or other people that may be approaching life differently, experiencing life differently, and who are probably coming at a similar situation differently. And so play can be a great way for us to explore the different perspectives, how people are approaching a similar situation. We're going to approach situations differently. And I think that play also introduces that curiosity piece that we talk about a lot. It introduces a light, buoyant, fun atmosphere when we're in the mode of play. So playfulness is a great way to get to know other people and to expand our perspectives and to practice our empathy and imagine what it's like to be a teenager who's attached to their phone and can't put it down for a second. Rather than being judgmental or critical of that, just being kind of curious about that and playful with it. Maybe even be like over exaggerated or something, or make a joke of it, just to kind of get an idea of what it's like to be attached to your phone or not attached to your phone. So we are getting very close to the coaching nugget of wisdom. And I would say, I would invite our listeners to look at vacations and time of pause, just like we did in this episode. What are some lessons that you can find in your own vacations or times of reflection or pause or rest? Erin.
I really like that. And I think just to add to that next layer of that piece is how people can be okay with the messiness and the challenges of implementing something a little bit different in your schedule, because our brain wants us to do the same thing. So when we try to shake it up, right, it's going to be a bit of a different challenge for us. So maybe engage that challenge with a level of playfulness and self-compassion and empathy for yourself as well.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.